hopefully it won't be too time consuming. So right now, so we have Steve, Tom, Kathy, Marilyn. Am I missing anyone? Me?
Marilyn, Jordan, Kathy, Thomas, Kella, Steve, and...
It's you!
So we've got five of the six.
Thomas should be joining. He sent a response that he would be on.
Is Barbara supposed to be joining us today?
She should be.
I hope so.
Oh, she wrote me an email a couple minutes ago that she will be on the call.
Great.
Okay. Did she get the flu? Because she had said somebody else had it in her office.
Have we seen the letter that we've been waiting for?
I haven't.
I haven't.
Tim Ruiz with GoDaddy Software. Just joined the call.
Hi, this is Maggie Mansorkia. Yeah, sorry I'm late.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome, Tim.
Hi, Marilyn.
So now we have two registrars. Which of you two will be the talker on today's call?
That would be Tom.
Okay, great.
Hi, this is Amadeo.
Greetings, Amadeo. Okay, well, at this point, we're only missing one. Well, actually, let's give it a minute or two, since we actually would be really great if Barbara was on the call. So,
who are we missing, Jordan?
We're missing the only participant on the call from the sort of non-staff side is the ALAC.
Oh, yeah, we...
But Barbara's also not on the call yet.
So. Hi. Does anyone have a number for Barbara?
Let me see if I do.
I can get it for you.
I can call her from my landline. I have her cell phone, Glenn. Oh, let me try that.
Are you on the cell phone? I'll call her from my other line.
Oh, I can. Hold on just a minute.
I'm just giving you her number up.
Yeah, I think Marilyn said she had her cell phone, actually. So.
Marilyn, her cell phone number is...
Good afternoon, Thomas here.
Welcome.
Marilyn, it's 808-385-1677.
Hey, hold on just a minute.
I'll try her other phone.
Well, I called her. I called her and left her a message on his cell phone. What?
Okay, well, why don't we run through the agenda quickly, and we'll see if there's any items that make sense to cover prior to having Barbara on the line. Let me just pull up what I sent out. The items that I had sent out earlier today and that pretty much match what Glenn had sent earlier, which are, number one, to review the final questions with the cover letter, which unfortunately I don't think we've seen yet. Number two, to get back just a brief summary of the discussion related to the task forces on the council call last week. Number three, to review our calendar and discuss any calendaring issues that may still be pending. And number four, any other business, including the discussion of the MP3s, that survey that Glenn has completed.
And Jordan, if you could add the OECD report that somehow I got listed to fine. I want to talk about that.
Okay. On the any other business, sure. Anyone else have other business that they'd like to add to the agenda?
And come and start it. Can we just at the end have a very brief discussion about the organizing, when we can do organizing for the workshop?
Sure. Okay, great. So, unfortunately, I think the questionnaire for item number one, we've basically gotten put together. We're just waiting for the cover letter, and hopefully Barbara will come on the line to give us a status on that. So why don't we skip to item number two, which is just a summary of the items of discussion from the last council call, particularly as the only real substantive discussion relates to the calendaring and the coordination of the various task forces as well. There's a brief discussion of outreach to various other groups, including the GAC. So I was on that call. I guess I'll give the brief summary, which was that as you all know, there was a proposed sort of coordinated calendar assembled by the task force chairs, other than myself, actually, and Bruce Tonkin. And that calendar was the one that several members of this task force had commented anticipated having the constituency statements prior to the completion of the data gathering. And it now turns out basically all of the task forces have rejected that concept, and it sounds like there's pretty good consensus that it makes sense to have the data gathering happen first and have the initial data gathering report put together and then request constituency statements so that we don't have to go back to constituencies repeatedly. And I think there was no objection to that was the position presented by Barbara, and also I think each of the task force chairs supported that, and there was no objection from the council. So that seems to be the direction that the calendar's heading in, and Barbara was going to put together some more thoughts on the consolidated calendaring, and hopefully keeping in mind some of the thoughts expressed on the task force list. So the other issue that was discussed on the council call related to this was actually the issue of outreach to the GAC. Chris Wilkinson, who's the GAC liaison to the council, posed the question of whether our questions were intended to be responded to by the GAC itself or by the individual countries. And he actually expressed the idea that he thought some individual countries may be reluctant to respond in an individual capacity as opposed to as part of the GAC, as a more coordinated opinion. But I think that was when he was under the assumption that we were requesting an opinion as opposed to just statements of fact about the relevant policies in the countries. But that's something to keep in mind, is that at least one person from the GAC side has expressed some reservation about questions tailored toward individual jurisdictions.
Did you have the sense that it was Chris Wilkinson who was opposed to that, or that he was representing somebody else?
It's hard to tell. And once we clarified that it was more questions of fact and really questions that it would be hard for the GAC to provide a coordinated
joining.
Hi, David. The questions that would be difficult to provide a more coordinated response on, I think his objection died away to a certain extent. But I just want to make everyone aware of that. If it may be something that mitigates against us getting broad responses back from the GAC.
Sure.
Anyone have any other questions about any of those issues? Okay, have we been lucky enough to have Barbara join the call yet? I've heard a couple chimes, but I guess not.
One of the times was Jeff Thomas rejoining.
Oh, okay. Why don't we...
Jordan.
Yeah?
Can we add to the agenda at the end of the call request from the task force to the ICANN staff related to scheduling so that we can make sure that they have these meetings on their calendars as priorities, please?
Yeah, definitely. So why don't we discuss, I'm going to just go ahead and plow on back to the original agenda then, and we'll do the best we can. I think returning to the topic of the questionnaire. Oh, someone just joined.
Barbara.
There we go. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Barbara, we were just discussing, actually, we were just about to jump into a discussion of our questionnaire to the various constituencies, including the infamous cover letter.
Thomas Keller has written a version of the cover letter that should suit us.
Great.
Hang on. I'll find it. Okay, so the cover letter to everyone, which I thought he had sent out to everyone, but he was actually running it past me first, and so it's being sent out. It says, the GNSO's Who Is Task Force Number 2 is chartered with reviewing the current ICANN Who Is policy regarding the collection, disclosure, and transmittal of data. One of the milestones of this task force is to determine whether the data which is collected and disclosed at present should be changed. To be able to arrive at an informed decision, we are asking all GNSO constituencies for guidance on their use of the current data fields. You can find a short listing of these fields at the end of this document, or a more extensive listing under, and then he has the link to where we had our documents. And then he includes the survey after that.
Right. Well, that's short and to the point, I suppose. Does anyone have thoughts on, do we want to see the text of the letter on the list before we make commitments one way or the other? I'd say probably yes, although that's noted and not yours. okay, well, why don't we, it sounds, everyone's happy with the, I don't want to jump back to decisions we've already made, but everyone's happy with the questionnaire as we've put it together for both, for, I mean, all the sets of questions that we've put together, I think, are final at this point. Is that correct? No objections there? Great. So really we just need to get these cover letters finalized and sent out. And that sounded fairly innocuous to me. My guess, I would propose that we go ahead and get them circulated to the list and then just have people indicate any minor changes they may want to make on the list, and then we can hopefully just have a quick email consensus in order to get these sent out as opposed to waiting for another call.
Jordan, do you want to set a deadline for responses?
Yeah, we need to discuss a deadline for replies and a...
I was thinking more of our online responses.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's yes. We will need to do both of those. And actually, when we get to the discussion of calendaring, which is the topic after this one, I think we can get into the deadline for the replies. But yeah, I would say if we get the email out today, then by close of business tomorrow, shoot to have any editing or proposed revisions to the letter out, and then by close of business the following day, have sort of an up or down vote on sending everything out. Does that sound reasonable to everyone?
Wait, can I ask, is there a different cover letter for the registrar questions as opposed to the constituency questions?
Yes, there was. I just sent it out to the list, so you all should receive it in a moment or two. But I can read that out if you want.
Well, just in the interest of time, actually, let me ask, do people think it's valuable to have, to try to work this on the call, or can we move this to the list in order to try to get these resolved and sent out over the next day or two?
I'm fine with moving it to the list.
Yeah, let's do it on the list.
Okay, yeah, because it's just too hard to edit something as long as a text on a call.
Right.
But thank you, Tom, for putting together some text for us.
No problem.
I think that will help move this along. So with that done, we should have all of our data gathering activities ready, sort of teed up and ready to go.
Just a final, a brief remark about the table with data elements. There were some final corrections from some registries. I will send out an updated version of the chart tonight, like my time.
Okay, great. So we should probably use that as the linked to document.
Okay, I'll make sure that Terry updates the website properly.
I'll just CC her.
Oh, great.
So was there a good response from the registry?
Some registries have minor edits, like stuff that is was added, that stuff where practice and contract diverge.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad they responded. That's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah, I think almost all the registries actually took a look at it, and a few of them, about half of them have comments.
That's terrific. I think we should put that in the minutes, let everybody know people are responding.
Okay, so we'll just make a note to make sure that that's the document that we link to. So why don't we jump to, with that behind us, why don't we jump to the calendar?
Wait, what about a cover letter for the GAC question?
Use good question.
Personally, we don't really need a cover letter because there's already an explanation included in the preface.
Of course. Okay.
On that point, I saw a posting from Bruce Tonkin that described a procedure for sending these questions, that basically they're supposed to be given to the ICANN staff, and the ICANN staff will pick them up with the liaison between the GAC and this task force. I'm not sure who that is. Is that the process we're going to follow, or was that just Bruce's opinion?
I think as chair that we should follow that process, but the liaison in this case would probably be lacking in the other liaison. It is Christopher acting as the interim liaison to the council.
Yeah, I think as Marilyn indicated, I think it makes sense to follow that procedure unless there's some reason to believe that it is lacking in some regard, and it seems relatively straightforward to me. And Chris has already been given a heads up on the last council call that these are coming to him.
Yeah, he seemed to be comfortable in that role.
Would the contact be through email or telephone or both?
Well, it can be both if you'd like. I was going to email him, but I can talk to him if that seems more.
Can Jordan, as our chair, be included in that as well?
I really, why don't we just let the staff do this? This is not that complicated and it's long. I think the big point is getting it in his hands so that he can interact with the other GAC members. And so email would probably speed that.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that getting an email off is probably sufficient. If for some reason we don't get some sort of response, we could follow up with a telephone call just to give them a heads up on it.
I mean, I think if he wasn't as familiar with what was going on, it might be more important, but he's pretty up to date with what the situation is.
Yeah, really just like 3 or 4 days ago. So.
But I was just saying, if Jordan's part of the discussion, the discussion as well, then we don't have to bother you, Barbara, as much for kind of updates or statuses or kind of he hasn't gotten back to us yet kind of things.
Well, he's not going to be the one replying. We're not asking the GAC itself to make a statement on this. We're asking GAC members to reply to the survey. And so whatever replies we get are sort of independent of, the only thing they're dependent on is how efficiently Christopher and I get this thing distributed.
Okay.
Well, they're actually dependent on more than that, and that, I think Christopher made that clear. Some GAC members would have to take so much consultation with this country that they may not be able to reply. Others won't have that barrier.
Right. I meant in terms of dependencies within ICANN.
Yeah, that's completely external to our process. So not a lot we can do about it one way or the other. Okay, and then I guess the last issue related to this, actually, Barbara, is have you had a chance to, or Glenn, to distribute the DC questions to Elizabeth and the CNSO
No, we didn't do that yet. We were waiting for this meeting.
Okay. Well, I think
we can go ahead and do that today if you're ready to.
Yeah, I think the consensus and the I haven't heard any objections to distributing those, so we should go ahead and.
Thomas here. I was under the impression that Glenn had sent the CCCLD question a little bit immediately or a day after the last call.
Glenn, did you?
Yes,
I
indeed
sent
questions to her as. Because it was agreed on a previous call.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just misunderstood.
I would have a look just to see if I did it, because I must always check too.
I'm sorry, you sent questions to
Portnoy, to send her. I actually don't think you did, Glenn, because she said on the call that they had not yet, on the council call, that they...
Yeah, as it was Thursday, she seemed to indicate that they hadn't received them.
But in any case, guys, that is center. That is not the CCNSO.
Right, that's correct. And I'm going to, if we're ready to send it to the CCNSO, I'll work with Teresa to get that out today.
Yeah, we should send those questions simultaneously to center and the CCNSO.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we have sent them to center yet, just because I think we were waiting to coordinate that with.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, just to close this topic out, it sounds like we're ready. So if we haven't done it already, we have to be sending questions to the CCNSO launching group.
And just so you know, Glenn worked with Kent and Terry to set up a mailing list for these, so that we'll get all the answers, all the responses to one central mailing list for each of the task forces, and then we can coordinate the replies that way.
Great. Yeah, and I guess it sounds like we're also ready to send out the questions to the GAC, and then the questions for the constituencies are going to be pending approval of the cover letters by Wednesday.
For purposes of the archives, would it be useful to send, in case people are tracking what we're doing by the email listserv, would it be okay, Barbara, to send a copy of the final questions and cover letters to the list so that it's kind of there if somebody from the outside is trying to figure out what we're doing?
Sure. I think that'd be fine. I think we can just do one of each with the list.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Okay.
I'll probably do that on Wednesday when we send out the questionnaire to the registrars and the constituencies, just because that way they'll all appear at the same time. So I'll hold off on the GAC and the CCNSO questionnaires and post all four of them to the list at the same time.
Sure. Okay. So what's the... Any other comments on the questionnaires to any groups? Now we'll jump to the calendaring topic. Great. So I think, Barbara, that I explained to everyone that on council call, you had indicated you were going to take another crack at a coordinated schedule that represented the sort of work efforts of the three.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the last calendar that we looked at? Was the one that was the one that you created? I'm sorry.
So for our task force, we've been looking at the calendar that Tom Keller created, actually. And we've also had some discussion around. Previous draft of the coordinated calendar, which I think the consensus was didn't work very well for our purposes. And I get the impression that the other task forces had similar concerns about the ordering of the various tasks there.
Right, and on the council call, I pushed for rescheduling the constituency statements.
Right.
But keeping, generally speaking, the rest of that schedule intact. In order to produce deliverables for the Rome meeting and to try to have our overall work concluded by the end of May. So what I had proposed was moving the due date for the constituency statements to March 12th, which was a week after the Rome meeting, and would give everybody about 3 weeks after the publication of the interim report on February 16th, gives them actually about 4 weeks after that, 3 weeks after February 25th, the publication of the interim report, so that they could review the status of new data collected to that point.
Sounds mostly reasonable to me. Just one question. How realistic is it for constituencies to agree on statements within a week immediately following an ICANN meeting?
Well, it's more like 10 days, but yeah, I
people will be troubled.
I accept your question.
Attractive.
Legitimate question.
I'm pretty sure it won't work for our constituency, at least. Unfortunately, I have to say that.
I don't think it gives us enough time to write an interim report.
I'm sorry?
In addition to the constituencies not having enough time to respond, I don't think it gives us enough time for basic data collection, compilation, and writing of the interim report. It's a huge amount of work to be done before. We're so far back in the time frame right now that it's just not enough time to do those steps, I don't think.
And Barbara, just factoring into the travel, et cetera, for...
Okay, well, let me explain the stages. Let me go through them. The idea is to request replies to all of these questionnaires by February 16th and to craft an interim report that is like a... it's not even an analysis, but a presentation of that data by February 25th.
That sounds doable if we're thinking that, you know, we're going to use like a PowerPoint type approach to do a presentation on the data.
Sure.
And that I think that's 9 days. That at least it's at least feasible to think we could do that if we all collaborated on analyzing.
Okay, and then we have the March meeting. And then after the March meeting is when we would ask for we would solicit the constituency statements now by giving people a date sometime after the March meeting by which they have to be ready. So the question is, what is that date going to be? And my proposal was that it be March 12th, which is the Friday following the conclusion of the Rome meeting.
But Barbara, what are the constituencies responding to? Because all we've given them is a summary of the data we've received in the interim report. We have not put forward policy recommendations, right?
That's correct.
Right. I think the PDP Maryland actually imagines that the policy recommendations are crafted after the constituency statements are...
That's correct.
...are provided. The constituency statements are used as a basis for... creating the policy recommendations.
Given that that large amount of work then that has to be done at the constituency level, I think Thomas's date of March 27th is a little more realistic.
I think March 27th pushes us too far back in terms of then we still have to write the preliminary report, publish it, and wait for the 20-day public comment period.
Well,
I think something perhaps in between those 2 days might be appropriate, perhaps March 19th.
So Barbara, back us up again. So the presentation is targeted for 2/25, which means that most people will be seeing it for in final form as they are traveling or arriving at ICANN.
Right, and we're going to have workshops at ICANN on the Wednesday morning.
Where the task forces will make their presentation, right?
Right.
So then the call to the constituencies for their statements, for their positions, would go out when?
The call could go out now. What we're talking about is the deadline for when those statements have to be prepared.
The point I'm trying to make is I'm aware that the policy, what are the constituencies responding to? Wouldn't they be responding to our presentation?
Yes.
We're not going to have anything for them to look at until roughly the 25th.
Right, and so I was proposing a date 3 weeks after that.
But if you take a date 3 weeks after that, look at the travel schedule. People will start traveling around the 26th, 27th, 28th, something like that. Mm-hmm. People will then be in Rome. I would guess that many people will stay in Rome maybe a couple more days because it's an attractive touristic target.
Sure.
So people will, you can expect people to be back home, something like back home and up and at work and de-jet-lagged at about, say, March 10th. Expecting constituency statements 2 days later sounds pretty much unrealistic.
Okay, so what about the 19th?
Does that leave constituencies enough time to vote on statements, to formally adopt them?
We need 14 days in the business constituency. We have an expedited vote of 10 days. So, yeah, Thomas, we could do it if we, but I don't know how others. I don't know about the registrar.
I'm not sure, actually, but I think we have like a voting process that goes on for maybe 3 weeks, but maybe Jim can correct me on that. I'm not too sure about that.
Well, that's what I've been told, is that you have a process that goes on for 3 weeks. So
if we did the 19th, Barbara, that means the 25th, that's 4 days. 19, that's 23 days. Well, that's 3 weeks. But that means we really have to hit, we have to get something out and have it, and the constituencies have to be prepared to. Well,
can I get the 22nd and give us the weekend?
Yes, I can do the 22nd and give you the weekend.
This is Steve Metalis. Have we discussed Tom Keller's proposal, which was for March 27th? And it seems as though.
My feeling is that pushes us back further than we want to be pushed back in the schedule.
Can you be more specific?
Well,
lays out a schedule that.
Right. No. When we get these constituency statements, the next step is that we have to review them and begin preparing the preliminary report, which does in fact include policy statements in it, and so policy recommendations. And so I envision actually about, you know, two to three conference calls worth of discussion in that regard, even if we get text written as a straw man proposal, you know, the first week.
But Tom's schedule envisions 5 conference calls, and still we get a preliminary report in time for action in KL. So, is he
missing? Well, action in KL? What kind of action in KL? No, what he had us doing was actually presenting to the GNSO Council in KL. I would like us to be done with that stage and presenting to the board in KL.
The board report is submitted to the board of directors 10 days before KL under his schedule. Now, maybe there's something wrong with his schedule.
No, it's possible I read his schedule wrong.
Yeah,
no,
that's correct. That's what I'm reading. You have a final council report and a council vote on.
Well, it's on the 4th of July. And
is there actually a council meeting then? I guess that's
well, Sheriff Australia, I'm sure.
I have no idea.
Do we have council calls scheduled out that far?
Not yet. Not yet. They haven't been canceled. They haven't been scheduled after Rome.
But assume that we're going to have a number of council calls because we have to address the new registry services. We have to begin to address new GTLDs, and we have to wrap on who it is. So we will have enough.
I think there will be sufficient calls to cover it. I just all right. So let's see. You had the preliminary task force. I'm sorry, Tom. Can you point me to the date of your email that had the schedule? Because I'm just not able to find it right now.
I have the latest revision on January 21st.
Okay, now
I'm not sure we're going to be able to do this all. I mean, unless we're working from Tom's draft. I'm not sure which we've all had. I'm not sure we'll be able to do this all online. I think the one decision that has to be made right now, isn't it, is what's the due date on the data gather. Because obviously Barbara needs that before sending out.
Right, that's a good point.
Okay, I really suggest that we keep the February 16th data gathering deadline just because it allows us to prepare materials for the Rome meeting.
But it's just 20 days from now.
I'm sorry?
But it's just 20 days from now, and we haven't even sent it out.
We're sending it out on Wednesday.
Well, at least 18 days.
I agree that that's pretty short, for at least some of these.
Do you realistically expect that if people don't respond to it immediately, that they're going to respond to it later?
I think the GAC will.
At least the chance is bigger, as you will.
Well, we could include a phrase that says, you know, we will continue to collect responses past that time.
Yeah.
Well, is the maybe I'm confused about this. Is the expectation that there will, for example, on the questionnaire to the constituencies, the expectation that there will be a single response from each constituency, or that constituency members will respond individually? What's the expectation? I assumed that you were looking for a constituency response, and that takes time to put together. You can survey your constituency and find out what the answer is.
I think the way we phrased the question is we expected individuals.
I'm sorry?
So you want...
It's a question.
You're talking about to the questionnaire.
Yes. But did you anticipate that individual members of the constituencies would respond, or that the constituencies would respond?
Well, this is probably an issue on which it might be worthy of adding a sentence or two of guidance in the cover letter, because it probably is a little bit ambiguous right now.
No, it says, it has questions like, how do members of your constituency make use of the data that the constituency position being asked?
Right, well, I guess the question is, is it more useful for us in one form or the other? Because we could certainly add a sentence indicating, you know, please feel free to provide a consolidated response from your constituency, or have individual members respond directly to the task force.
I think as it's drafted, it clearly says how do members of your constituency make use of the data, so it sounds like a unified response.
And actually, I'm wondering if it's, well, what approach would give us the more useful answers? If we ask individual members, we will hear from, well, those members who are kind of activist on who is, and others may ignore the questions. If, on the other hand, activist members start drafting a response, other members may wake up because it's made in their name. I guess I would prefer constituency statements, or constituency responses, to be more
And we always do have the opportunity for individuals. I think it's important to have the opportunity for individuals to respond, because some constituencies have consensus rules, and there may be individuals who do not agree with the, that might prefer to respond as an individual. So we usually, in ICANN, have a separate way for individuals to respond, right?
Through a public comment period.
Uh-huh, right.
Maybe it wouldn't be called that. It would be called a...
Yeah, in this case, the public comment period is going to be after the data gathering is complete.
Yeah.
It could be called something else then. But I agree with Marilyn, there should be an opportunity for people who...
Well, if we're posting them to the list, which we are, then we can encourage people to also use that opportunity.
For individual
The reason I'm hesitant to say that is that if we put it on the list and encourage people to reply, then we're opening a public comment period.
Exactly. You want to do that very carefully.
And I would prefer that we include some statement to the constituencies along the lines of, if your individual members would like to also reply, that's acceptable, or something like
that. What's the problem with getting public comments on data gathering questions?
Because, sorry to join too late.
Because we're asking the constituencies these questions. We're not asking the general public these questions. If you would like to ask the general public these questions, that's an entirely different task.
Well, right, but I think Marilyn's made a good point that if a constituency has a consensus policy, And so there are members of the constituency who want to opine but who can't get their particular position into the constituency statement. It seems silly for us to exclude.
Right, and I would like to keep that avenue open. I was responding to Thomas's question about making it a more public comment period type question.
Just in response to your note, Barbara, I still don't see the damage we are trying to avoid. What's the problem with saying task force is asking the following questions for constituencies? If you have something to add to this, please do so. What's the damage?
Do you want to do the same thing for the GAC questionnaire and the CCNSO questionnaire? I actually think that's opening a can of worms.
Well, I guess the difference would be that the GAC and CCNSO questionnaires aren't targeted towards users, which, generally speaking, the questions that are targeted, the questions for all the constituencies are mostly targeted towards experience and use of the WHOIS data.
Okay, that's a good clarification.
I thought we concluded earlier, this is Steve, that the GAC itself would not be making a response. It would simply be forwarding this to...
They are. That's what I meant was, do you want the general public answering those questions that we asked the GAC members?
Well, maybe there's an entity in some kind of a government which would like to answer the questions, but they haven't sent to them.
Also, what's the damage of someone who may have some expertise says, okay, you're asking the GAC, but by the way, you want to look up this material? I really don't.
Well, no, I'm putting that out there for the group. Do you want to open this up to more generally, and we'll put all the questionnaires up on the list and with an open invitation for people to reply to them?
I assume that the GAC members would want to make their own decision about how they responded to these questions, and they might want to make it, you know, put it out for the public or something, or they might want to use another course. I just think we have to be very careful before telling them how they should respond.
Right. We're not talking about how we're addressing the people who are the intended recipients of these questionnaires. What we're saying is what I'm posing as a question is there any concern that people have about we're going to put these questionnaires up on the public list with saying to people generally, whoever's reading the list, that if they would like to respond to these individually, as individuals, they may do so.
Well, I guess it would be an open process, at least. I mean, they're not secret questions, this.
Well, they're not going to be secret regardless. The question is who we want to hear responses from.
Barbara, what
I mean, if there's no objection, then there's no objection. So.
I think the distinction that was made before about the ones that are directed toward individuals responding or to individual users, such as the questions to the constituencies, that makes sense that individuals would respond to that. I don't know that individuals would respond to the questions to the registrars. Some of them are not really the type of question that an individual could really respond to, are they?
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably makes sense to post them all. If people happen to have some expertise and they didn't receive the questions for some reason, they should feel free to respond. But I think we could go so far as to generally ask for, you know, anyone that wants to comment on the general constituencies questions should ought to feel free to do so.
Let me ask a question for Thomas and the at-large. Would you have the time or the bandwidth, if individuals want to respond, to compile those responses, to do one level of compilation, and then I know you're not a constituency, but then prepare a statement so that individuals could either respond to us or they could respond to you, and you could put together various views of individuals?
We can certainly attempt to do this, but I'm mostly looking at this from a very practical point of view. From a practical point of view, we are at a point where we need to have some input address where constituencies send statements, where individual members of constituencies send statements, where GAC members can send statements. Are we going to filter this? Are we going to even be able to make a distinction?
Yeah, I don't see any advantage to. I mean, unless we.
I don't see any advantage to over-formalizing this. Just open it up. It's a simple thing to do, and it will, in practice, it will be will boil down to that anyway.
Yeah, guys, and on the previous task force survey, we asked people to identify themselves by a category in order to, as I think about what we've done on this questionnaire, for individual respondents, I don't think we've included that, right?
That's an excellent point, actually. We don't have any indication of who's responding other than the constituencies themselves.
Or what hat they're wearing. So let me just, you know, for instance, Marilyn Cade might respond as a business constituency representative, or she might be responding in her private capacity representing AT&T. I think Marilyn Cade should be asked to designate that.
Excellent point, and I guess it applies both to anyone who wants to respond it and to constituency members in the, responding individually. So maybe that should be part of the cover letter.
Yeah. I'll
indicating, please identify individual or constituency respondents appropriately.
Yeah, I'll endeavor to put together a couple of sentences to add to the cover letter to try to make this more clear and to get that sort of information, Marilyn.
And if you just go to the previous questionnaire, George?
Yeah.
You might even be able to take those categories. I think Thomas and the rest of us found that, you know, helpful.
I would actually phrase it differently. Rather than asking people what hats they're wearing for the question, I would ask them what hats they wear generally, because generally that was part of the problem with that questionnaire, Marilyn, was you had to say one, and some of us were operating in multiple.
I know, but we probably ought to think about whether we're asking people to say, you know, when I speak for AT&T, I am required by my employer to say I speak for AT&T. And I think it's only fair to people to say, okay, Marilyn's now Miss AT&T.
Actually, I think there's some pretty good language in the policy development process somewhere which says that people should briefly indicate how they are affected by, how they are, in what capacity they are talking and how they are affected.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adding something like this to the cover letter or as a remark when it's published, saying if people elect to respond to this separate from a genus or constituency, the pastor could ask that they identify their capacity in which they are responding and give a brief indication of their interest in the matter.
And so that has to be on each questionnaire because they're going to be anonymous, right?
Yeah, I mean, well,
are they on behalf of answers by email?
Well, but I mean, we're not. Remember,
we're not asking people to sign their names to these.
Right, and we stripped all that off from the previous questionnaires. Whenever the ICANN staff stripped all that off for us.
Wait a moment. Now I'm getting completely confused. I was under the impression that we were sending out something by email. Are we setting up a web-based questionnaire at this point for constituencies to answer?
No, we're sending it out by email. They're going to reply by email. However, in the final results, there will be no identification by identifier, by email or name of who it was who replied.
This is Steve Mattel. I'm going to have to drop off here and pass the baton to Nick, but I would just say that it sounds as though we're going to have to actually do a little more refinement of the cover letter as well, and in light of the discussion of the last few minutes. And in that light, again, I would just urge us to try to come up with a realistic deadline if we're going to get constituency responses to this data gathering. It's going to take a little while to put that together, so I would just close with that point.
Steve, what do you propose as a realistic deadline?
Well, it depends when it goes out, but if we, I think we need to give the constituencies at least 3 weeks, if we can, to try to put together a unified response, leaving aside whatever comes in from individuals. But I'll have to drop off here. Thanks.
Well, maybe what we need is a modified timeline, just a very simple, that what we need is for the ICANN staff to send us back out a, you know, sort of a task. It sounds like we're going to have to get some simple form of project management software.
before we turn to Thailand, I think we have some pretty fundamental questions about the survey or about the questions we are going to ask that need to be answered. Barbara was saying that answers would be anonymized. This doesn't make terribly much sense to me if we are asking for answers from constituencies and from GAC members. In that case, we want to have the respondents identified, so we don't want to strip off identifying information at any point.
And registrars and registries and CCNSOs, I mean, we want all this information.
Yes.
It's important who it comes from.
Wait. Category or name? I mean, if you're submitting on behalf of a constituency, then of course you would be submitting on behalf of the constituency. But if it's an individual, do we need more than the category? Do we need to know? I'm happy to go either way. I'm just thinking.
I don't think we are doing a mass pay large scale survey here. So I would believe that just like what we are doing with public comments, we should ask for identifying information. We don't anonymize public comments either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. The nature of the questions are not such that I feel like there's a strong need for anonymization.
Okay, so people should expect then that their email address would be submitted and maintained in the archive.
Oh, I see.
If it's a standard ICANN-style public comment archive, it won't be obvious.
Okay, first of all, the mailing list that we've set up is not intended to be a public archive. It's,
uh-huh.
It's a mailing list that goes to Glenn and myself.
Okay.
So we can deal with the data. So we have it all coming into one place and can coordinate, you know, the analysis of data. We can tabulate things for you guys.
Barbara, you're assuming that the task force is not going to see the responses?
No, we're assuming that the raw data as it comes in is not going to be made publicly available. And so we can talk about that a little bit, but that our assumption was that we would, in fact, clean it up a little bit, not include email addresses as we shared it out to the task forces and the public at large.
And again, expanding on this, Barbara, your idea of the interim report is very much a compilation, not an analysis, but a compilation.
A compilation
of
with whatever analysis we have time to do.
Well, my past experience would lead me to believe that it is important for the task force members to have access to. If it's just no tabulations are one thing, but to the extent that there are comments and narrative comments.
Right. I think what we anticipated was collating the replies, tabulating the replies, if you will, into something that's perhaps easier to read than individual emails. But the idea was to, in fact, strip out emails.
I don't have any problem with stripping out email addresses to keep spam from occurring, but ICANN has been doing that with list archives for quite a bit of time now. Just from a standpoint of view of keeping things as simple as possible and as transparent as possible, I would actually suggest to keep the setup relatively close to what's being used for public comment period, with the explicit notion that this is primarily intended for GAC members, constituency representatives, constituency members. And that stuff is going to be further analyzed and brought into more readable form by ICANN staff. But at the same time, I would also make the input that it receives publicly available. It's the easiest way for everybody to follow things as they come in. It's the easiest way for us to make ourselves familiar with the input we are getting even before the formal report is getting out. And finally, it's the easiest way to keep task forces work transparent. I think, Barbara, you're making things a little bit too complicated here.
Yeah, I'd agree, especially given that we don't have any, like I said before, I don't think there's any sensitive data that we're gathering where
I'm not trying to make it complicated. I'm just saying exposure.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I think, we need to be clear in the cover letter as to what's going to happen with this.
Yeah, of course.
What's the request?
Your emails will be posted to archive at URL. Email address is contained and the messages will be obfuscated.
Okay, so...
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's a standard ICANN mailing list, ICANN command form set up as far as I know.
Can I make this proposal? We've talked about the cover letters and the questions that are going out to the groups we've already designated, the registrars, the constituencies, et cetera. Can we continue with those and have those posted by Wednesday? Have those go out by Wednesday? And then it sounds like a slightly different cover letter needs to be put on as these things are, as we open up what really amounts to a public comment period. That may take another few days for us to post and think about kind of the dynamics of how to handle that. It certainly is a different cover letter, I think. Can we separate that so that we can keep pushing through and getting out the questions
that
we spent so long preparing?
I agree. We need to get the questions out as quickly as possible, and Wednesday seems a reasonable time. But I'd actually imagine just adding a sentence or two to the generic cover letter that would make it clear that the public could be free to respond if they felt they had valuable contributions for any of these questions.
I think that may have to go on. Are there other places in ICANN where we post public comment periods? Has that been consolidated? I thought that in some ways that had been consolidated now so that people could go to one place and find out what was open for public comment.
There is one place on the website that people can go. Are we opening this as a public comment period?
Right. I guess I just view this as opening up a specific public comment period, just propagating it and allowing people to comment in any capacity that they saw fit, but not having it be a formal public comment period.
Okay. Why don't we put that in the message, and this is not a formal public comment period?
Sure.
I think that would be useful so that if people find out later or something, that would just be a useful term to include.
Sure. We will have a public comment period pursuant to the PDP later in the process.
Why don't we put that in also after certain reports have been prepared, since the public may not know what the PDP process is.
Sure. Okay, I will, like I said, I'm going to endeavor to draft language to that effect today.
But we'll go ahead and circulate the other questions, the other materials.
Right. So the real issue that we have to resolve before we drop off the call is the date that we're going to require responses by. Currently, we still have the date of the 16th proposed. Given that we're trying to have useful data gathered by the Realm workshop, it seems like we can't really go a lot later than that.
We could probably move it to the 20th if...
I would suggest that we continue to say that we want the data by the 16th, and if a little bit happens to trickle in by the 20th, that we still take that into consideration.
I think we ought to try to stick with and because we'll have to do reminders for people.
Yeah, exactly. Is everyone comfortable with this? I think if we get everything out by Wednesday, that the 16th is 3 weeks. It's viable if a little, you know, it's going to be tight, but it's viable.
I think we should just take a look and see what's coming in, and one way or another, we're going to want the data. So it'll be great to have an interim report, but we might want to open it up.
Right.
It's material we're missing.
Exactly. Yeah. If we feel like we're missing a good portion of the responses, we could always elect to allow more time in order to get a really good report.
Great.
Okay. Well, let's take that into account. We can take a look at the calendar and play some more by email in terms of rejiggering that. Already running over time now, so why don't we jump to any other business? And we have three items already identified. Four. The first is the MP3 vote or survey that that Glenn took. It looks like the members of our task force generally were in favor of retaining the MP3s and making them available on the website. I would, given that result, I would probably suggest that we ought to go ahead and start making the MP3s available. I think everyone's had adequate time to think about it now. It looks like there's a pretty clear consensus in favor of making them available in the interest of transparency, and I would say that we ought to go ahead and post them. Is that, anyone have any problems with that at this point?
Some people have already dropped off. You may want to ask this question on the mailing list.
Yeah, I'll post it on the mailing list.
Wait a minute. I think we have a vote here. I don't.
Me too.
Why aren't we just going ahead and doing it?
Yeah, no, actually, that's a good. I mean, we're going to get the same one or two people objecting on the mailing list.
Well, I guess
presumably.
I was the only person objecting anyway, so we can put
oh,
it on
there
the
we go.
Wait. I was objecting too, and it only listed one. That's interesting.
Well, no, I think what happened is one person objected to even the recording of it, and then. One person said it was okay to record and not to post it.
But guys, this is about rules for the task force. It isn't about rules for an individual task force.
Oh, this is about rules for every task force?
Well, the vote was taken and recorded across all the task forces, Kathy.
There were separate votes for each task force.
All right, yeah. Ultimately, the way the vote came out for all the task forces leads to making the MP3s available.
Oh, okay.
I think every task, I mean, if I'm on a future task force, I'd like this discussion to be revisited for everyone, but as somebody who opposed, I'm willing to abide by the vote, of course.
Well, Kathy, if that's the case, you need to ask the task force to submit that to council for consideration about the rules for the PDP and the task forces that support the PDP.
Glad you pointed that out. I will do that.
Yep. Marilyn, is that clear that this was actually a formal vote? Glenn published the results as a survey. So
the council is going to have to take up the rules for task forces.
Yeah, no, I agree. General principles should apply here. But I think the result was fairly clear in terms of the numbers, so I think we ought to go ahead and begin publishing the MP3 recordings. And I guess the only question to answer is whether we have to retroactively go back and publish the ones from the past, or whether we should start from this point on. That may be an issue that I'll raise for discussion on the list, but I think that we ought to, at least from now on, we ought to begin publishing those on the website. Okay, Glenn?
Yep, fine.
Great. Your next issue was Kathy's issue of the OECD report.
Yeah, I wanted to pass this back, it sounds a little strange, to Marilyn and Barbara, because I remember a few weeks ago we had a discussion about the OECD report and also privacy, the EPIC privacy rules, and I thought I had volunteered for the EPIC privacy rules, and I wound up on the minutes with the OECD report. So I made a good faith effort. I went out to look for a new OECD report that might be available for some cost on the website. And I found all sorts of very interesting things, but they were all available and all downloadable on privacy. So I know there's a specific report, Marilyn, that you and Barbara were talking about, but with apologies, I couldn't figure out which one it was. So I'm going to bounce this one back to you.
Yeah, it was one on data collection for online activities. And let me see if I can find it.
And the publication date was sometime in November, or?
It was very recent.
And the problem is, it's a chargeable item, Barbara?
It was a chargeable item, yeah, and I had not heard back from them about our distributing it further.
Would you send an email to David Ferris and to me, and BAC can get it for us?
Yeah, I will. It dropped off my
But we might be able to get the BAC. Maybe we can get BAC to get permission to make it available.
That'd be great.
Great. Okay.
I did want to point out to everyone that the EPIC report, which I had volunteered to find, is available on privacyinternational.org. If you go into resources, you'll find it under country reports and documents.
Okay, and Kathy, since I think as you pointed out earlier, some people dropped offline, could you distribute that to the list? Yeah.
Right.
Great. Okay, the next issue was organizing for the workshop in Rome.
Can somebody outline what the workshop looks like? Because I've checked the website and I don't think there's anything.
I think this it has not yet been organized. So.
Yeah,
I missed that. What were we? What did we move to?
Organizing for the workshop in Rome.
I think actually my suggestion is just that the chairs and booths and staff come up with a semi-standard framework. So we know we have an hour and a half, and we know that New Industry Services kicks off because it's, we can ensure that people will show up for that at 8 a.m. in the morning. The three Who Is workshops are going to run back-to-back. So if we could just ask the chair and the staff to come up with a semi-standard format, then I think the task force could, you know, it'd be something like a presentation, an overview of what we've done so far, brief calendar, and then probably comments and feedback. But we ought to come up with something that's relatively standard because we want to be able to encourage the GAC to attend, the board to attend.
Yeah, I will try to talk to Bruce and the other task force chairs to see if we can't structure something like that. I think we are due for a follow-up call on the organizing side of the calendar as well.
And Jordan, one comment I would make to you guys is to the extent that you can keep it from being a complete repeat of each other's work in the comments, and I don't know quite how to do that, but I would just offer a thought that, you know, there's going to be three reports from three task forces. If we have open mic after each of them, we're likely to get repetitive comments. I don't have an answer. I'm just suggesting that would be a topic for you guys to discuss.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Okay.
And wait, there's one final thing.
Sure.
I do really urge that we try to get ICANN to provide a transcript for this.
Transcripts or translations? I'm talking to Diane about when the transcribers are arriving and what they're going to be available for, and we just don't have that set yet.
It's Thomas and I can tell you and others. You know, for remote participants, it's just really helpful to have the real time.
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree. It's incredibly helpful.
Great. Any other comments about the workshop that I should take away as I discuss with the other task force chairs and the staff? Great. And the last item of business that Marilyn had raised earlier was that we wanted to, I guess Barbara made it onto the call, but we were going to put together a request to make sure, or we can just ask you now, that to make sure that all of these calls are scheduled at a high priority relative to your calendars.
Yes, the reason that I missed a call a week or so ago had to do with my not having a phone that I could have access to. I was traveling and my cell phone died in transit. And so as far as this morning, I just didn't realize time had changed.
Sure. Yes.
I know you're definitely on my regular calendar, and this is the only thing that gets scheduled at this time.
Great. Yeah, because we do, we're lost without you, Barbara. So. It's always important to have you on. Any other business to discuss? Great. Well, with that, we'll look to close the call. And people do look for the draft cover letters and revisions and have comments and discussion over the next day or two. It will be very helpful to the process if we can finally get these questions distributed by Wednesday.
Jordan, I am going to raise one more question.
Sure.
But I just got to thinking about the logistics. In our previous task forces, we did find it very helpful when we were going to have a public event to take a 30-minute period and gather all the task force members together. Just logistically, that's another thing that you guys might add to your discussion for the cross-chair discussion.
Sure.
And then, you know, you need to figure out a room. I mean, you know, one time we had to gather in the hallway, but you just might want to think about, as you think about the process, when people are arriving, whether it's possible to pick a time on Monday to have a short run through of, you know, perspectives, since everybody's going to have a PowerPoint presentation probably.
Yeah, okay, sounds like a great idea. I'll make sure to tab that as well. Anything else?
Yep.
Yep, something else, or yep, nothing else? Okay, with that then, I'll wrap this up and look for your comments on the cover letters no later than tomorrow.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks.
Thanks.